We extend a very warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, the many of us here in the body of the church, and it's good to see so many people here today and to see some of our young families, as well as those worshiping from home. I do remind us that at 4 o'clock this afternoon, we have our service of lessons and carols for Advent and Christmas, and we invite you to please come and join in that time, and I would like to extend our thanks to Robin and the musicians and the choristers for all the work they have put in to putting that service together. May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As the saying goes, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. That's a lesson I think we all eventually learn. We don't always put it into practice, but it's a lesson I think we all know. The prophet Zephaniah knew it very well. Even St. Paul, in his gentler moments, knew it. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says in his epistle to the Philippians. And again, I say rejoice. That's why we light the pink candle today. It is Gaudete Sunday, when the heaviness of Advent lifts just a little bit, a foretaste of Christmas joy. But then along comes John the Baptist. He looks out at his followers and he greets them. You brood of vipers. This acidic tone stands in stark contrast to the words of the prophet and to the rejoicing of St. Paul. Let's look for a brief moment at Zephaniah's message. Despite all the things that happened to the people of Israel, being uprooted from their home, taken out into exile, persecuted on many sides, Zephaniah is shouting out the joyous fact that God is with them and God is for them. The King of Israel is in your midst. After all that had happened to them, they may well have asked, where is this King of Israel? And do you know what he tells them? The same thing that the New Testament tells us. Just look around you. God is actually among his people. That means God rejoices with us. It also means that God weeps with us. It also means that God must suffer with us in our pain and our cruelty and our stupidity. This tells us about the kind of God that joins humanity in Jesus Christ. Zephaniah's insight is important because he shows how God is in this very center of all that is happening. I will save the lame and gather the outcasts. He's saying that the world actually is changed by the power and the presence of God. But it's not a one-sided action. God's people must take their part in bringing about the kind of change that reaches into the very darkness of the world to lift people up and to shine the light on them. We are to find the Christ in us, and we are to help others find the Christ that resides in them. And believe it or not, that is what John the Baptist was up to down by the river. He missed the point, perhaps, that you get more honey than with vinegar. You get more with honey than you do with vinegar. You brood of vipers, he said as they came one after another. If I said that to you here this morning, you'd probably put your offering back in your pocket or recall your PAG and head for the door. Not so down in the Jordan Valley. He bursts onto the scene with words that are like a scourge. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise children for Abraham. And then the bit about the axe being laid at the root of the tree. Even the tree gets hacked away. Well, truth be told, not everyone was happy with John's message. There were many angry and many deaf ears. Who was he to dispute the long-awaited utopia under the rule of the messianic king for whom the people waited and longed and prayed? Who was John to call the honest, God-fearing religious folks a bunch of snakes fleeing from the heat of the desert? We have Abraham for our father, they said. We're going to be all right no matter what happens and no matter what you say. They were ever so proud of their pedigree. Maybe it's a bit like saying that since we are Anglicans, we are sure of a special place in heaven because God does things with Anglican good taste. So we come to this third Sunday of Advent. The lights are beginning to glow a little brighter on the wreath. The decorations are going up and the cards are coming in. And along come these stinging words of John. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John is challenging an old, deeply rooted society to take another look at itself. It isn't enough to say that we have the right pedigree. We must ask, what have we done to make this world a better place? What need is being missed? Who is being left behind or left out? Those are the kinds of questions we must deal with repeatedly to prepare the way of the Lord. And notice what happened to his hearers. Those of the establishment were not really that pleased. Those who were outsiders said right away, "What can we do? What should we do?" And he tells them, "Share your food and your clothing with those in need. Don't skim off the tax money. Don't collect more than is your due. Don't bully people. Don't push your way. Don't rob or beat people up." John's teaching has to do with sharing when my neighbor lacks sufficient clothing or food. His teaching has to do with true justice, of observing limits in matters of power, something that can be difficult for those who are powerful. John saw that society needed to change, and people needed to be at the center of the change to help affect it. He does not advise anyone to leave the world they are in, however dangerous or corrupt that world may be. His appeal is for a transformation from within, at the very basic level of life. His message, really quite simple as a baby in a manger. But I suppose the challenge of it all, simple as it may be, is this. It requires each of us to give something away. In order to do that, we must believe in the thing for which we are making the sacrifice. John took people into the muddy waters of the Jordan so they could make a tangible commitment to this new way of living. And with that, he called them to change direction. That's what repentance is, to turn around and go in a whole different way. Repentance is key to this because it gives us once more the chance to see the world and ourselves and the people in the world in a new way, in the way in which God sees them and even us, the way God showed us how to see them in his Son Jesus. Repentance is in fact a gift, because it gives us a chance over and over again to change direction, to be renewed. The newness of life which Christ gives stirs us to reach out and touch all of life with the love of God that seeks even us. Well, for those who were willing to tolerate the vinegar of John's message, there was a little bit of honey at the end. People were drawn to him not only because of who he was and what he said, but really because of what he offered. The chance to come clean, to stop pretending they were someone else, and to start over again by allowing him to wash them off. He called people to wake up, to turn around, so they would not miss the new thing that God was doing right before their eyes. There is one other thing about the people who came to John that is important. Only those willing to enter into the wilderness got to experience this new way of life. They were the ones who tasted the honey when the Messiah finally did come on the scene. Every one of us, I suspect, knows where our particular wilderness lies. And you know, we probably have a very long list of reasons why we should not go into that wilderness. But listen again to John's voice, and let us pay attention to what he is really saying. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Live a life that reflects the Christ who is in our very midst and who calls us to follow him. Accept the gift that makes it possible for us to see all of life in a new way, a gift that enables us this Advent and Christmas to do what Jesus did, to give of ourselves in ways we never dreamed possible, because our Lord is in the midst of all of life, even and perhaps especially in those wilderness times and wilderness places in which we inevitably find ourselves. He is there for us. What a gift that really is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.